Well, that was excellent. Appreciate that very much. Something else I was going to say, and I forgot between that seat and here. Not good. I'll think about it, probably. Well, I thought today what I would do is if the bulletin says how to have a successful camp and how to have a successful life in the same vein. Now, the reason I put how to have a successful camp, I have been receiving applications. I have to do an evaluation of every person that applies to camp, and I have to fill it all out. And if you've applied to camp, I've given every one of you a good rating. So, but I have to do that, and there's a lot of kids and adults applying to some of the camps this year. I mentioned I had one, and when it says, it'll say, it won't tell me what camp it is, but it'll just basically say whether they're applying to be a camper or applying to be a staff member. And I got one staff member application. It said Rachel Whitlark, and I thought, man, she's only 8 or 9 years old. Maybe she's not quite ready to be on the staff. Turns out that's Janon. I didn't know Janon's name was Rachel, too, so that's good to know. I actually said that Rachel might be okay if her mother was there, but I wasn't sure what she was going to do, but figured, hey, you know, she's a good girl. She'd never give me any trouble. But camps are going to be coming up here fairly soon, and so I thought I'd talk about that today. I remember the first camp of the United Church of God camps that I ever went to was at Camp Woodman, and having lived in the southern or eastern part of the country, very few campers ever came to that camp except those from Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, up in there. So I didn't really know many here. But I remember the first camp I ever went to, and I did that for several years, I think 4 or 5 years in a row. First camp I went to, there was a young man that was 14 years old, which was like one of the youngest camper. And right off the bat, it struck me that he was one of the best softball players at the camp, even though he's only 14 years old. And I was intrigued, and he was a very friendly, nice guy, and as was his brothers who were at camp. And it turned out I got transferred, Penny and I got transferred to the church area where he lived. His name was Jordan Gennaro. So you may have known Jordan or his brothers. And Jordan was quite a guy. And I'll tell you a little bit about him as we go on. But if Jordan was here today, he would want me to point out, if I could say, what are some things that you would like me to tell the campers or the kids that are growing up in the church? And I had 5 things listed here. Talk a little bit about each of them, not a whole long time about any of them. But when you're going to camp, and in life, the first thing I think we need to think about is just have fun. You know, I mean, we don't have to have a frown on our face. We can have fun. And I think that's something that camp is a time to have fun. Now, virtually all my scriptures here, in fact, all of them may be in Ecclesiastes. So if you want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where I wanted to begin. Ecclesiastes would be right after Proverbs. It starts off, well, I always remember this set of scriptures, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8, because when I think I was in the 5th grade, I guess the teacher got mad at about half the class, and we had to write Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, something like 20 times each, so it always sort of sticks in my mind. But it says to everything there's a season. So there's a season to have fun. And God wants you to have fun. And when you go to camp, the point of going to camp is to have fun, among other things. But it's certain to have fun. It's a time to enjoy ourselves. Verse 4, there's a time to weep there's a time to laugh. And quite frankly, camp is usually a time to laugh. And there's a time to mourn. And there's a time to dance. So you can't all, you know, there are times and seasons for various and sundry things in life. And quite frankly, we each at camp, whether you're a staff member or whether you are a camper, you have jobs to do. There are things to do. And it can be fun as we do these things. You know, it can actually be fun cleaning up a room. When I remember when we had the Night to Be Remembered here, and we were all cleaning up afterwards and just cleaning things, and there was a big, it wasn't a tree, but it was some bush that had these little sprigs on the table. Really nice how the ladies had put it together. And it was all sitting over there when they were taking it down, getting ready to take it off. And I was going to try to pick it up and carry it. And I'll never forget, Mallory Flavin said, "Do you want me to help you?" Man, that was very, very kind of her. And you know, things like that, I thought, wow, I really appreciate that. There are times to have fun, and certainly it's wonderful to have time to have fun. Now, Jordan Gennaro, he was quite a guy. I have never had a younger person in the church, the years I've been an elder and pastor, that offered to help me as much as Jordan Gennaro did. He would call me sometimes to say, "Mr. Martin, I just want to know, is there anything I can do to help you?" Remember how he would call us? And, you know, just thinking about it kind of makes me, you know, I don't know what the word is, but it's, what a guy. Just call me and ask what he could do to help me. Now, a second thing at camp to do, and in life, you know, we want to have fun in life, is get involved. And don't just sit back. And at camp, don't just sit back and let the week go by, or don't just sit back and not, you know, get involved and do things. And I trust you will, but get involved and do things and have a good time. And in life, as we grow up, learn to do things. Like the, you know, Caleb and the young ladies, or the ladies that are here, they're up there performing in the ensemble. That makes things very special. You know, they don't just do it on Youth Day, but they do it virtually every Sabbath. And it makes a huge difference. I remember one time Penny and I were out of town, and we watched on the webcast. And even though we were out of town, even though we couldn't see the folks sitting over here because the video, you know, couldn't go over that way during the webcast, I could hear the music. In fact, didn't I say, I said, "There's our people up there playing the music." And man, that makes a special part of church, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult, whatever the case may be. Now, when I think of Jordan Gennaro, I jotted down here, he was involved in virtually every aspect of service. Now, this was in Tampa. We had a spokesman's club in Tampa, and maybe we should have a spokesman's club here. It probably have to be on Zoom or something. We have a spokesman's club for Dallas and Fort Worth if enough people want to be involved. But Jordan was in the spokesman's club. Jordan worked on the sound system. He would help out, you know, some weeks on the sound system. He would usher whenever there was a chance to usher. He was involved in service projects. So were his brothers. He has brothers C.J., Corey and Jared Gennaro. I remember one time it was Corey. Was it Corey or CJ? CJ and Jared. They're a little bit older, but they were, one was probably in his early 20s and the other was probably like 25 or so. And they contacted me one time and wanted to take Penny and I to dinner. And we said, "Rather than you take us to dinner, why don't you just come over and we'll have you over for lunch." So one Sunday, we were going to have them over for lunch. I think they were going to come over about 10:30 or something around that time. So Penny made lunch, and we thought, you know, we'll have lunch, and then they'll be gone. They stayed so long, they're almost the guests who wouldn't leave. but we had a good time. It was great. Well, they were talking about all types of stuff, asking things, and man, it was something I'll still remember, or always remember. I actually baptized Jared about 2.5 years ago, I believe it was now. So they like to be involved. They didn't just sit back and watch the days go by and someday regret they hadn't done more. Because, you know, we only go through this life, this physical life, once. And the more we get involved, the more we can enjoy it. Now, back to Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 9 through 14 in chapter 3 again. It said, "What profit has the worker from which he or she, of course, labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are occupied. He has made," meaning God, "he has made everything beautiful in its time." You know, there's nothing more beautiful than a little baby. But you know what else is beautiful? An older member who's loving and living God's way as they get older and they're not able to do as many things. Like it says, God's made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts. Mankind has this yearning inside for what does the future hold. No matter whether a person understands Christianity or what, there's something God puts in mankind about eternity, about what is the future. And he's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. We don't know it all. God knows every little thing. Remember, he talks about the sacrifice Jesus Christ was prepared for the foundation of the world. So God knows all these things, and we see through a glass darkly, as it says. But we can see things, and God will let us know through time. Verse 12, "I know there is nothing," here's Solomon speaking, "I know there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives." Remember, get involved. Don't just sit back. Have fun, but be thankful about what's going on. "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor." When it says man or he, it talks about men and women, of course. It's the gift of God to be able to do all these things. I still think back and remember about my cousins. I found out the other day my cousin, who's about a year and a half older than me, was in the hospital with congestive heart failure. Now, he's doing better. He's home. But I hadn't talked to my cousin. I was so close to him, Steve. We were so close. We'd do all these things. Steve was born in November. And then a year later, my cousin Charlotte was born in January. Then the same year, I was born in February. My cousin Larry was born in April. So we're all close. And yet I don't, you know, when I see them, usually a funeral. And it's sad. But my cousin Steve, and I thought, man, I can't remember when I talked to Steve. And I called him up, and he was in the hospital, and we had a wonderful conversation. Just talking about old times and things we remember from the past. So just sit back and like Oliver Hoosier said, you know, friendship is a wonderful thing, whether it's a family member or a person you meet at school or church or whatever the case may be. "I know," here's verse 14, "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever." God doesn't make mistakes. God has created mankind. God's created the beauty of creation. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it, and men should fear him. We should appreciate what God gives us. And I think for the most part, most of us do. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. verse 10, speaking about getting involved, not to sit back and let things go by. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't do things halfway and just, you know, do it with your might, he's telling us. Really put your effort into it. You know, the musicians up here, they didn't just suddenly but one day wake up and could play the violin or the saxophone or the trombone or the, I'm trying to think of the clarinet. Okay. Do we even have a clarinet? I think we do. But anyway, that's beside the point. I've lost my place. Oh, here we go. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, there's no device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. We are all going to the grave physically, but this is just a start. Eternity. Physically, our bodies wear out, and some, you know, I remember my daughter and I were in, once we went and walked around a cemetery. We were in another state looking for something, and my daughter was, she's a teenager, and we just started going to all these gravestones. We'd see how old some people live. Some are into the hundreds. And then we'd see tombstones where the person lived less than 24 hours. So God knows. God knows. Third thing. When you go to camp and in life, be positive. Boy, a positive person is such an encouragement. Positive person is such an encouragement. I remember not thinking of Jordan so much, but his brother Jared. His brother Jared was a couple years older than him. And I remember that first year at camp, he was so friendly to me that I thought, is he trying to get something from me? You know, I didn't really feel, I thought, there's something too good about this guy. And you know, it turned out it was exactly what he is. Just a nice guy. He's, you know, he has his ups and downs like everybody else. But he's a nice guy. Ecclesiastes 9 again, where we were before. Verse 13. This wisdom I've seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. What wisdom? Well, he tells us right here. There was a little city with few men in it. And a great king came up against it. He besieged it and built great snares around it. Now there was found in this city a poor wise man. This person may not have had a lot of money, but they had a lot of wisdom. A poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. This person, you know, just by who knows what he did, prayers or help or something, he delivered the city and nobody really remembered him because he wasn't famous. But God remembers him. God remembered her. Then I said, wisdom's better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. In this world, you know, so much of it goes around as who's the powerful, who's got the most money, who's got the most influence. But that's not the way God looks at things. Nevertheless, the poorest man's wisdom despises. His words are not heard. A lot of times people aren't paying attention to them. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. That's why I try to tell younger people, get to know the older members. Get to know them. I think it's a wonderful thing passing out and getting to know each other and learning a little bit. I learned things about Savannah and Evelyn that I hadn't heard before. Just by reading what they said. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom's better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. We can really mess it up. Verse 1 of the next chapter. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. Something could be beautiful, but you know, you've seen situations like that. So does a little folly. to one respected for wisdom and honor. When we do stupid things, and every one of us have done stupid things, certainly I have, but when we do stupid things, people are going to see it. People are going to remember it. And yet, sure, you can make up for it over time, but yet, if we just consider what we're doing, it'll be good for us. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at the left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. It's not who the loudest person is. And he shows everyone that he's a fool. If you act like a fool, you'll be thought of as a fool. I mean, we've all been to school, and we all know the old person that was always had to be seen, had to be the one getting all the attention. But sometimes that attention is not good. Now, when I went to Ambassador College, they, 1 year, I think they may have had this 2 years, but they had an ice hockey team. And they were going to join in California. They're going to be in an ice hockey league. And there were some fairly good sized schools in it. I think it's Cal State Fullerton, Cal State Northridge. There were several. There was an ice hockey team. And there was one guy that was, excuse me, the goaltender. And he was a good goaltender. He played hockey. He was from Canada. There was another guy. He was a good guy. But I still remember this so clearly. And I actually wondered whatever happened to him. And when I was preparing this sermon, I thought, I'll just type his name in and type in Ambassador College and see if his name comes up. And it did. And he is very successful. He has a very successful job. He was up in the East Coast somewhere, but I was surprised. Not sure why, but I was surprised. But on the very first hockey game they had, a lot of people from school went out there to cheer the team. And we're all around, and everybody was there to watch the game. And I remember one thing. The only thing I really remember about that game is one thing. Because when they were coming out to begin the game, the teams come out, you know, they're skating out on the ice. And this one guy, his last name was Bondi. And when he came out, the fans were chanting, "Bondo, Bondo, Bondo." Man, and he was really getting into this cheering. You know, Bondo comes out and he's going to do a little twirl around. He fell flat on his you-know-what. Then Bondo, you didn't hear too much Bondo after that. It was like, oh, poor Bondo. I hope he didn't hurt himself. But he's a good guy. He's been real successful. But man, when he was going to do that little twirl around, show everybody how he could skate and it didn't work out. And oh, that's the main thing I remember about that night. I don't have a clue if they won or lost, but they probably lost because I don't remember them winning very much. But it was amazing. So when we act foolish, everybody sees it. But when you act with integrity, it may not be flashy, but people will remember it over time. Now, the fourth thing is do not neglect time getting close to God. Do not neglect time getting close to God. You know, at camp or in life, take time to learn, to start reading your Bible. Take time to read and study and look at virtual thoughts, some of the things. It's things you can, it helps you learn, broaden your perspectives a little bit, and get close to God. I ask people all the time, I say, why do you go to church? Because I was having question and answers in where they're meeting up there in McKinney a couple weeks ago, and I did the same thing in Dallas Day, and I said, why do you go to church? You go to church to learn about God and God's way and learning to work together with people. That's the point. It's not for flash, but we go to her. We can change everything under the sun, but if we don't develop a relationship with God, and we're all so imperfect, are we not? Every one of us. If we don't learn take time to get close to God, what are we really accomplishing? What are we really accomplishing? Take time to get... Well, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12. But take time to be around and learn about God. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, so that's not talking about me maybe, but it's this guy, whoever he is wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and he sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. When you get right down to it, what are we here for? To learn the truth. To learn the truth of God. That's what we're here for. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. Well-driven nails, a house that's sturdy. Take time to get close to God. Some of you probably know this, many of you probably don't. But Jordan Gennaro died when we were living in Tampa. Now, my wife's son and my stepson died in a car wreck. And his birthday is the 28th of April next week, or this coming week. And you know what? There'll never be anything harder than losing a child. There'll never be anything harder than losing a child. But you know what? For some reason, we were asked to move to Tampa and St. Pete. We've been there, I don't know, a year or so. And one day, I had a dentist appointment. I'd been out, I don't know really what I'd been out doing, except I remember that I had the dentist appointment, so I wasn't home. And when I got out of the dentist's office, I had several messages on my phone, and the message was, there's been an accident. Jordan Gennaro and the other young man, Morgan Green, who actually was the class president at ABC a year or two ago, were in an accident, and they're in the hospital. One's in one hospital, one's in the other. Get to the one in Zephyr Hills first, because that was the one I was closest to. So I went to the one in Zephyr Hills where Morgan Green was, and Morgan Green was very shook up. He was injured, but nothing life-threatening. I knew it was not great, but it was going to be okay. Now, then I went over to where Jordan was, and he was on life support, because he had not been wearing his seatbelt, and they were on an ATV, is that what they call it? ATV, and they lost control, they flipped over, and Jordan hit his head and was unconscious. And Morgan somehow fell, I guess, not on his head, but on another part of the body, and only injured the body. So I got it. It was a Thursday. I'll never forget, because Pentecost is on Sunday, of course, and Pentecost was going to be the following Sunday. So this was a Thursday. And we went out to the hospital, and I immediately knew this was only God could straighten this out. And, you know, God could have healed him at any moment, just like God can heal anyone at any moment. But, you know, we're all physical human beings. We all have a lifespan, whatever the case may be. But Jordan was in bad shape. And really the next day, all day Friday, we were there at the hospital most of the day. And then on Saturday, we had services in St. Pete and Tampa. We were at the hospital before for the services for St. Pete. Then I think I don't remember whether we, I guess we couldn't stop on between because we didn't have time. But then after services in Tampa, we're back there most of the rest of the day. And I knew what was going to happen unless God healed him. Now, the very next day, Pentecost, you know, we'd been praying about it, and people had been doing everything they could, asking God I remember specifically getting contacted by Victor Kubik and Darius McNeely. That's two people I remember calling me, wanting to know what they could do. But the next morning, Pentecost, before services, we were there at the hospital, and they were talked to the nurses, not the doctors. Yeah, I did talk to a doctor too, but I knew nurses more because I'd worked in healthcare, and they told me that they were going to have to disconnect him from the respirator, and that they said he'll die within a few, short term. Now, God could have healed him, and God's not through with Jordan Gennaro. Jordan Gennaro will be resurrected at the proper time, but the doctor and the nurses, they talked to me and they said, this is going to... So when we went to St. Pete, we had morning and afternoon services in both St. Pete and Tampa, but we went to the morning in St. Pete, and then when we drove to Tampa, I knew, unless God decided to do a miracle, that Jordan would not be alive, and he wasn't. And of course, that was a very traumatic time for everyone. But I could say so much about this. But when he died, he was a senior in high school, and was he a senior or junior? He would have been a senior because it was during the summer. Yeah. And anyway, I never realized how popular he was. I knew he was a great guy, and I knew he was always serving at church and always wanting to see what he could do. The very day, I may have said this, I don't know if I did or not, I don't think I did, but the very day they had the accident when I was gone, he called Penny. He and Morgan wanted to come over and see me. And I just wasn't home because I was gone, and then that happened. That's how quickly things can happen in life. That's how quickly things can happen. So they wanted to have, obviously, a service. They're going to have a burial, but before they wanted to have a memorial service. And the only time we could get the memorial service was that afternoon. The afternoon, a Friday afternoon. And to make a long story short, some church, I don't even remember what denomination, I think it was a non-denominational church, they offered us to use their building for this memorial service, because our building would have held a couple hundred, but we didn't know how many were going to be there. It's one of the more amazing things I've been involved with, and I look back and I say, well, at least Penny and I, having gone through this, at least could identify with what the family was going through more than some people could. But when they had the memorial service, I have never seen so many people at a memorial service. There was 800 people for that 17-year-old boy to honor his life. And everybody was going through the line and everything, and that pastor of the church that evening, asked if he could talk to me. And he said, "Stan," I'll never forget what he said, I know exactly where I was standing. He said, "Stan, you and I, we do a lot of funerals. Sometimes there only be 10 or 15 people." He said, "This 17-year-old boy, 800 people?" He said, "What kind of a witness was he? We'll see him again, because God's not through with him, and I miss him. I miss him, and I actually miss seeing his brothers, because they were stalwarts." Don't neglect time getting to know God. You'll never regret it. The fifth and final point I wanted to mention: whether you're at camp or in life or whatever the case may be, your goal and my goal is to grow as a person that pleases God. Wherever you are in your life, think about it. Ask God to help you grow to be the type of person that pleases God. We're all so imperfect. It's not even, you know, it's not the question of we're perfection, because we're not even close to it. But God's perfect. And Jesus Christ gave his life for you and me and all mankind. Our goal is to grow to be a person that pleases God. So what is the end result? When you go to camp, what's the end result to be? When your life is written, what do you want your end result to be? You know, when you're young, you think, man, I may live to be 100. Then when you get to be about 70, you don't want to live to be 100. But, well, in some cases you do. But what's the end result? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man or young woman, in your youth. Oh, it's great to be young. You can do things. You have energy, all the things you can do. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Enjoy life. Enjoy camp. Enjoy all these things. Walk in the ways of your heart. Just have a wonderful time in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Judgment can be a wonderful thing. God's judgment is going to give you eternal life if we learn to get to know God. So judgment is not a negative thing. But God knows what's going on in our life. God will bring us into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And when I say vanity, it just means fleeting. You're not going to be young forever. You'll find as you get older, you will probably have about the same personality that you have when you're about 12 or 13 years old. You'll mature, but you'll have similar likes and dislikes all through your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I'll close with this. Remember to remove our things, and we'll get things put together for the chili cook-off. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, the last two verses of this book of the Bible. Let us therefore hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the bottom line when it's all said and done. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God. And fear of God is a respect, an awesome respect of wanting, although we know we're not anywhere like God in our goodness, our greatness. But fear Him. Want to be like Jesus Christ. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. The whole of mankind. For God will bring every work into judgment. Again, judgment, it can be a wonderful thing. You can always repent, but let's not let ourselves go down. I had a lady that was 90 years old. She lived to be over 100 in one of my congregations a few years ago. She was talking about one of her grandkids. And she said, you know, some of these grandkids just want to go up Fool Hill. And she said, man, Fool Hill, it's a long, hard fall from Fool Hill. It hurts on the way down. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. God knows what's going on, and God knows when you are trying. Doesn't matter if people make fun of you or you're running. Just know that God knows if you're trying. Every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. The result of our camp, the result of our lives, that's how to be a successful person.